Bibles with me, if you would, please, to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. I know it's only one verse, and we also did only one verse last week, and at this rate, we're hardly going to get through Philippians, but I promise we'll get through it eventually if the Lord gives me life. And I promise that if you listen, you won't be disappointed. There's plenty in this one verse, plus today's a communion day. But there is plenty in this one verse for us to think about. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. The outline is a command and a promise, because both are contained in this verse. Philippians 4, verse 9. The Apostle Paul writes this: "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." You know what? Let's start with the promise. Let's start with the promise. This is an amazing promise. "And the God of peace will be with you." Who is the God of peace? Well, the God of peace is God. There is only one God. There is not a God of peace, small g, and then another God of war, and then a God of... No, that's not the way it is. The reality is there is one God, and he is well described here as the God of peace. Why? Well, for one thing, he enjoys perfect peace. God himself is not anxious. He is sovereign and in control of all things. He is not worried. He is not troubled by world events. He doesn't watch the evening news and get all concerned and shook up. He himself is the God of peace because he enjoys peace. But also he's the God of peace because he gives peace. And we learned about this when we studied verses 6 and 7, remember? Here again, a command and a promise: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." There's the command. And then a promise: "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We learned that if you would take your anxieties, your worries, your concerns, your fears, and bring them in humility to God and in faith, and let God know all the requests that are on your heart, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, a miracle is going to happen. The peace that God gives and that he himself enjoys is going to guard, stand guard over your heart and your mind. He's going to guard you against further anxiety and further worry. That is a blessed promise you can enjoy in Christ Jesus. End of verse 7, if you are in Christ Jesus. Well, as good as that promise is, the promise that Paul gives in verse 9 is far, far better. He is not promising in verse 9 the peace of God. He is promising the God of peace. The God of peace will be with you. You say, well, how good would that be? What do you think? How good would it be if the God of peace was with you? Whether with you as an individual, because this does apply to individuals, the God of peace was with the Apostle Paul as an individual person. Or how good would it be for us as a church family, if the God of peace was with us, which I believe he is? How good is it for an individual or for a church or for a people if the God of peace is with them? Well, you may have noticed in your reading of the Bible, and I hope that you read through the Bible on a regular basis, maybe even all the way through. Have you ever noticed as you read through the Bible how often you have these statements that God was with someone? For example, Genesis 39 verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. How good was that? The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. In fact, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord was making all that Joseph did to prosper in his hand. Even when he got put into prison, even when he was falsely accused and was paying the price in a dungeon, the God of peace was with him there and was giving him success and favor in the sight of the guard. For the God of peace to be with Joseph meant prosperity, it meant protection, it meant provision. A famine for 7 years and then plenty for 7 years. Or no, the reverse. Plenty for 7 years and then a famine for seven, but he stored up enough. How about this one? Joshua 6:27. The Lord was with Joshua. And what happened with him? his fame spread throughout all the land. Why? Because he was getting victory after victory after victory over the enemy. 1 Samuel 3:19, the Lord was with Samuel and let none of his words fall to the ground. Well, Samuel's ministry was, he was a prophet of God. And none of his words were ever wasted. How would you like to be someone whose sermons are never wasted, whose Bible lessons are never wasted? Every lesson you teach, every Bible sermon you preach or teach is used for God's glory and for the good of his people. That's what it's like when the God of peace is with you. That's how good this promise is. 2 Kings 18:7, the Lord was with Hezekiah and he prospered wherever he went. I like this one. 2 Chronicles 17:3, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the ways of his father David and did not seek the Baals. Instead, he sought the God of his father, walked in his commandments, not according to the acts of Israel. And therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. He had riches and honor in abundance. Those are just a few examples of how good it is if the God of peace is with you. And if you look at all the examples, and I looked at all the ones I could find in Scripture, I won't go through them all. They are many. Here's what you find. If the God of peace is with you, you don't lack for any good thing. If the God of peace is with you, you have his peace inside of you. You have his protection around you. You have his power working through you. You have his provisions for you. And best of all, his presence is with you to guide you and direct you every step of the way until he brings you into his eternal presence. That's what you find. What is Paul promising in verse 9? Look again, Philippians verse 9. I don't want you to lose and say, oh yeah, well that's good. No, he's promising the God of peace will be with you. There couldn't be a better promise. He's going to provide for you. He's going to protect you. He's going to keep you from harm. He's going to bless your life and your ministry and your work. That is an amazing promise. And Paul here was promising all the saints in Christ at Philippi, along with the elders and the deacons, that if they would do certain things, the God of peace would be with them. What do you think? Does this promise apply to you? I see a few yeses. Probably the shaking of the heads of those who believe, because it depends. This promise applies to you if you believe. If you're in Christ, this is a promise for those in Christ. Now, if you are not in Christ, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, he's not saying do certain things and the God of peace will be with you. You can't earn his favor by your works. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, Paul is saying, listen, beloved, live your life a certain way and the God of peace is going to be with you. You are going to enjoy his provision, his protection, prosperity in your ministry. What do you think? Was the God of peace with Paul? Oh, yeah. Now, it doesn't mean he never got thrown out of some town. It doesn't mean he never got lowered by a basket out of a city to escape people who were persecuting him. He was persecuted. But he saw the word of God go forth from his mouth. He saw people converted. He saw saints build up in the ministry. He saw people behind him go into full-time ministry. And he says at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Lord was with me. The Lord stood by me. He told Timothy, you know how I was persecuted in Galatia and Cappadocia. He was persecuted wherever he went. He said, but the Lord delivered me from them all, and he will deliver me. The God of peace was with Paul. And here he's saying, the God of peace will be with you and with you all. That's the promise. It's like saying, if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. So is the Lord your shepherd? Is Christ your shepherd? Are you in Christ? If so, the promise applies to you. But I'm sure you noticed the verse is not just a promise. This is not just, I'll buy you an ice cream cone. This is, clean your room and I'll buy you an ice cream cone. This is a command with a promise. This is, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So let's look at the command. Look at verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. implied. If you will not do these things, there's no promise that the God of peace is going to be with you. We are to be motivated by the promise and encouraged to do the things which we learned and received and heard and saw in Paul. Now let's think about the command here. What is he saying to do? These do. It's not the normal word for do. There's a word that's commonly translated do in the New Testament, poieo. That's the most common word for do. That is not the word here. This is a different word. Prasso, it means practice as a habit, these things. And we talk about people who are in the medical practice, or he has a dental practice. Well, it doesn't mean he's practicing dentistry or practicing medicine as in, you know, you're just a practice person and he's really getting ready for the big game. And that's how we think of practice. We say he's practicing medicine or practicing dentistry means he does this all the time. That's this word. That's the idea here. He says these things practice. These things do as a way of life. These things do as a continual habit in your life, and the God of peace will be with you. So that's the command. Practice certain things in your life. So what are we to practice? What must you practice if the God of peace is to be with you? He tells us, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. Well, that sounds like a big list, but I'm going to simplify it for you. The things which you learned and received, those two words go together. And if you search out, which we don't have the time to do it this morning, but if you search out how Paul uses those two terms in all of his letters, things you learned and received, he's talking about what he taught. In other words, the things that I have taught you, the word of God that you have learned and received from me. He uses those terms in Romans 16:17, 1 Corinthians 4:6, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, 2 Timothy 3:14. In every place, he's talking about how he passed along the word of God, the teaching of Scripture, to those behind him. And he's saying, those things that you learned and received, the word of God, or, here's a test. If you were to sum up in one word what we have learned and received in Paul, what is it? One word. Turn back to Acts chapter 20. Turn back to Acts chapter 20. He tells us, Acts chapter 20. Here Paul speaking to the elders in Ephesus. He reveals to them and to us what it was that people learned and taught whenever they were around him. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. He had heard that wherever he went, the chains and tribulations were awaiting. But that didn't sway him from his path. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why? So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. What was that ministry? To testify to the gospel. Testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So if you said grace, you were correct. If you said gospel, you were correct. If you said Christ, you were correct. In one word, what we have learned and received in Paul is the gospel. The gospel of God's grace. The gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 15, verse 19, Paul says, with mighty signs and wonders and by the power of the Spirit of God, from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I fully preached the gospel of Christ. So in Philippians 4, 9, when Paul says, these things which you learned and received in me, these do, he's saying, do the gospel. You say, well, wait a second. I thought the gospel was just news. No, the gospel is actually something to be learned and received, but also done, obeyed. The Bible speaks about those who do not obey the gospel in 2 Thessalonians 1. Those who do not obey the gospel will suffer the wrath of God because they don't obey the gospel. It means they don't believe it. They don't walk in it. But the gospel is also something to do. When Paul says, these things which you learned and received in me, these do, he means do what the gospel teaches to do. What are some things the gospel teaches us to do? I'll read you a very small portion from Romans chapter 12. And this is what he's talking about. He's saying the things you've learned and received in me, the things in the gospel, the things that Jesus Christ calls all Christians to do in the gospel, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Like what? Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What is that? Present yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Give your life to the Lord for service. Do that, and the God of peace will be with you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do that, and the God of peace will be with you. Don't conform yourself to the thinking of this world or to the ways of this world. Instead, go the opposite direction. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. Do that, and the God of peace will be with you. How about what he says next? Romans 12:3, I say through the grace given to me, to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So think of yourself in a sober manner. As we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. Use the spiritual gifts that God has given you to build up the body of Christ. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's what he's saying. You could read on, and I would encourage you, by way of application, read through Romans 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. You'll find many instructions. And what Paul is saying in Philippians 4, 9, do these things that we have been taught and that we have received in the Apostle Paul. Do the things he teaches in his New Testament letters, and the God of peace will be with you. It's like saying, be obedient. Be obedient and you'll be blessed. Then notice what else he says. Back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, if you're not there. Paul says, the things which you learned and received, that refers to the gospel, in a word, these do, and the things you heard and saw in me. What do you think that refers to? Okay, his example, I think I heard someone say. This is Paul's example. Gospel and example. Gospel and lifestyle. Paul's saying, listen, the things that you've learned and received, that's what I've taught you, which can be summed up as the gospel. And the things that you've heard and seen in me, that's my example. Do that, and the God of peace will be with you. Which says, study the life and teaching of the Apostle Paul and follow that path. This is nothing more than what he said up in 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk. You have us for a pattern. What God is revealing to us here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, is Paul himself, his doctrine and his life, is sufficient for you to know what to do. Nobody could ever say, I didn't know how to live the Christian life. What you have in Paul's life and in his letters is sufficient for you to know how to live the rest of your days. And what Paul says is, live that way, and the God of peace is going to be with you. Let's go back to the promise. God himself is going to go with you because you're going to be walking in his path, the path laid out by him. He's going to be there to provide for you when you have needs. He's going to be there to listen to you when you have prayer requests. He's going to be there to protect you when you have enemies. And yes, when the day comes that your life is going to be poured out as a drink offering and you'll have no life left, he's going to be there to take you to be with him in heaven. Very simple verse, but also very broad. It encourages us to look at the life and the teaching of Paul and to follow in what he says. What was Paul's example, or I'll put it another way, what was his life in one word? We said his, who said it? Christ. Back in chapter 1, he said that. For to me, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. One word. And what was his gospel in a single word? Christ. His gospel in one word, we proclaim him. We proclaim Christ. Paul is directing you indirectly to Christ. He's saying the things you've learned and received, and what have I preached to you? Christ. And the thing you've heard and seen in my life example, and what is my life example? Christ. Do that. You say, do Christ? Yes, follow Christ. Learn from Christ. Walk with Christ. Follow Christ. Submit to Christ. Let that be your life. And the God of peace will be with you. Why? Because God wants you to follow his Son. God's will for your entire life is that you would follow his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what this command and promise really add up to. Does that sound like a burden to you? If it sounds like, man, I don't know, that sounds like a lot. You know what Jesus said? My burden is light. You know what the Apostle John said? This is the love of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You know what it looks like to love God? It means to keep his commandments. It means to want to follow Christ. And John says, you know what, if you're a believer in Jesus, boy, that's not a burden. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. You know what Philippians 4:9 is? It is a command and a promise, but it's a call to a double blessing. The first is it's a call to follow Paul as he follows Christ, which is the best way you could possibly live. Paul is rejoicing all throughout the book. He's calling you to the joy-filled Christian life. And then he says, and on top of that, not only will you have the blessing of knowing you're obeying Jesus, the God of peace himself will be with you. It's a call to a life filled with double blessing. The blessing of obeying Christ and the blessing of having the Father's presence with you. What do you think is the application? These do. These do. And the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you so much for your grace to not only give us a great promise that you'll go with us, but to give us a way of life that leads to blessing and that even is a blessing. Lord, I pray for everyone who's here this morning. I pray for the person who's here who doesn't know Christ, who isn't in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that they might do what Paul did. He repented of his futile way of life when he heard about Christ and when he met him. I pray for everyone here who's a believer, that they would follow the Apostle Paul as he follows Christ, and that I myself might be an example of the same. God, help us to do these things you've called us to do. And we pray, be with us just as you have promised. In Christ's name, amen.
We share together communion this morning in preparation. Let's sing together the song, I Come to the Cross, Seeking Mercy and Grace.
I come to the cross, seeking mercy and grace. I come to the cross, where you died in my place. Out of my weakness and into your strength, humbly I come to the cross. Your arms are open, you call me by name. You welcome this child that was lost. You paid the price
times.
I come to the cross, seeking mercy and grace. I come to the cross, where you died in my place. Out of my weakness and into your strength, humbly I come to the cross. Your arms are open, you call me by name. You welcome this child that was lost. You paid the price for my guilt and my shame. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come to the cross.